notes are going to pop up on the screen on the comment section. You'll be able to follow along right there. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we grow, as we gather, and as we go. Amen. Thank God for the going here. Do you have your message notes here in the sanctuary? If you don't, raise your hands high. We have a couple of people that can give those to you. We're going to need a whole lot of help today. Amen. Look at all the hands going up. Can I get a couple of men helping out in that sense? If you kind of wave at us every now and then, I know it hurts to leave your hand up high, but don't leave it up too high. But when they come back, raise your, they'll come back and they'll be doing that shortly. Amen. We're in a series called Playlist, God's Ultimate Love Songs, and we base them out of Song of Solomon. Because this series is so interesting, would you go ahead and check in on your social media devices right now? If you're on Facebook, Instagram, it should pop up. Checking in right there, Living Faith Church. Go ahead and say that you're at Living Faith Church. Be a witness for Christ. Amen. Take a selfie of yourself or take a selfie of maybe the person next to you or something like that. But go ahead and say that. It helps us spread the word about Living Faith Church. Amen. We're preaching Jesus. Amen. And we want the message to go all over the world, and we can do that via social media. We probably have now about 300 people to 200 people listening every Sunday, and that's more than we have in our church in the sense of that. You see how many people we can reach with the power of the gospel, right, everybody? So we use that for the Lord today. We thank God for that today. Amen. You'll be amazed again what God had in mind when he provided the ultimate love song today. A couple of things I need to tell you about is next Sunday, Bobby Chance is going to be with us. Isn't that going to be great? Yeah, amen. Yeah, we're just so excited about Bobby coming, Bobby and Dot. He came from Africa and did that mission trip. The guy is always moving for Christ and doing something. He's quite an example. He's like a father to our congregation, and I thank God for him. So he'll be with us next week. And God will bless you. Make sure that you bring plenty of people with you. His music is amazing, but his message is good. I'm trying to twist his arm to speak about marriage just for a little bit because we're in our relationship series, and I want him to speak into that. And I think he will because I can twist his arm enough. Amen? He's an old guy, but he can still fight. Is that cool? So we'll see what happens. Amen. There are popular love songs that are timeless. And each of them have that we're going to bring out redemption meaning. And At Last is one of them today. We've covered in our series Attraction, the Art of Attraction, and how Just As You Are is last week. And if you can go back and listen to that on our website, you'll be blessed today. You can also go back on Facebook and look at that. But we've done a verse-by-verse study in the Song of Solomon. And it's an allegory picture of what God wrote at that time towards the people of that time. And so it's pictures and symbols. It was clearer probably to the people that were listening at that moment when Solomon wrote it. Like he used the line, like your hair is like a flock of goats. And if you use that on a line on your wife or your girlfriend or boyfriend on Valentine's Day this Thursday, that's not going to go over so well, right? But they knew what it meant. And in the Old Testament, you know, everyone was married. There were never these people that chose to be single their whole life. That's okay. It was just a different time in the Old Testament. The patriarchs were married. The high priest was married. All the priests were married. And so God's way in the Old Testament, it's a picture of us principle-wise. How many know thou shalt not kill is in the Old Testament, right? It's still a pretty good thing not to do, right? Amen. So there's principle living that we find through the Song of Solomon today. And it's God's way of doing love by God, human love by God's way. And that's the best kind of love, right, everybody? And so our theme scripture has been Solomon 1 through 3. And she's singing, man. This is her. She starts off right at the very, ladies go first. And so this is Solomon's song and how the song that he got from his girlfriend at this time, because they're not married yet, they're about to date. And he hears the song and he writes it down. Now, Solomon wrote like 1,000 songs. First Kings mentions that. These were his favorite song. And it literally says that. Solomon's song. These are the ultimate songs. These are my playlist songs, right? We all have our favorite songs, right, everybody? So these were on his playlist and he loved them and he knew them. And so she begins to sing, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Isn't that good? Yeah. How many know you can't kiss more than one person at a time? Don't be sick. Amen. Come on. You can't. And so kissing is a very personable very personal thing, an impact. Amen. When you get kissed, you should realize, wow, I just got kissed. Amen. And so it's personal, and it just shows how personal it was at this time. It says, your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. In other words, nobody loves like you love. You know how to love. When you walk into the room, it lights up because you know how to love people. And it's the art of loving is what we're after today. How you love people not only in your marriage, how you love that person in your marriage, how you love your children, how you love the people in your community, how you love the people in your church. That's the art of loving, right, everybody? Everyone's called to love, and we should do it by God's way, because that's the best kind of, nobody can love like you. That's what she's saying. And that's what we want to, that's what's behind the whole series. How do we love like God's love today? Amen. It says your name, which is, it means something. Your name should mean something. When they see you and they hear about you, what is it that they say? Are they talking about you behind your back? Is somebody defending you because your name? And she was defending this man because they knew they had his back today. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. They love you, but you're all mine, baby. Nobody else is going to get you, right? So she loved her man. Playlist love songs at last. Again, at last, today we begin the dating relationship. If you're in marriage today, so, you know, I've gone through that, or I'm single again, I don't want you to check out. You know why? Because there's principles again. God's word works. I can look at every part of every verse of God's word, and as we go verse by verse, there's something that I can have in this season and learn from today. And so in 2 weeks, we'll learn about the honeymoon and about the lovemaking that's found in Song of Solomon. And so that's when you really need to check out for the boys and girls in this room that are in this room, hopefully not, that you're in our children's ministry, because it's an excellent children's ministry. Give me a good amen. Amen. The following week, we'll learn about conflict. He literally puts his hand through the door. And he has conflict with her, and like putting the fist through the sheetrock, amen. So it lit up that day, but how to fight right and how to fight fair. And then finally we'll end with maturing love, how to have an enduring love that can be just a picture of heaven coming to earth in your marriages and in your home today. I want you to follow the guidelines that I set up last week. Guidelines are simple. I want you to hear for yourself. Tell your neighbor right now, I'm going to hear for myself right now. That means you're not going to elbow anybody or tell them, look, I'm glad that she's here. I'm glad I brought them along, because you're not hearing for anybody else but yourself, right? Don't be saying, amen, brother, real loud, amen. Preach it. And then, you know, you're looking at him. Don't do that, amen. That has happened in church at Living Faith before, so we don't want it to happen today, amen. The second thought of guideline is don't look too much in your past, your rearview mirror, because all of us have a past in this room, including the chief sinner on the platform, amen. I wish I wouldn't have done some things, even as a Christian, and but they're under the blood because I've asked God to forgive me. And we all have new beginnings, and that's why I love Jesus so much. How about you? Because he forgives me of all my sins. And again, I don't want to be acting like a fool and keep doing those sins. I want to learn and go forward just like you do. Amen. But God makes all things new. God makes all things new. Right, everybody? And so God's playlist, music has a way of just setting the mood, doesn't it? Thinking of things, you play that song and it just sets that love song. And so at last, the love song of at last, it never made the number one hit. It was in the top 10. Glenn Miller, remember him? He was a great band orchestra guy, and he would lead, and he was the one that originated the song, I believe, in the 40s, in the 50s. But here comes along this lady named Etta James, had this beautiful, raspy voice, and she sang it, and it never became a number one hit, but it got again in the top 10. And the beautiful words that she sang and how she sang it, it's been enduring since that time. On the way, she put her signature. It was her signature song. You know, I think spiritually how I can apply that today. You know how I can, there are songs that maybe never make it, but there's a mark on them. Just, see, we have this post out there sometimes, and we put a post and nobody likes it. Not even one person. Don't you have a mercy like sometimes? You say, nobody liked their post. So I'll go ahead and like it, right? For mercy's sake. But you know what? God, If God saw that post and God saw your life, he would love it that same way. You may have never made the top 10, your Instagram post. You may have never had but one like on that Facebook post, but God loves you. And his love is enduring in your life today. He'll always love you. See, that's what relationship and marriage and just having a life with relationship with people, it's enduring. It should last today. It's God's favorite today. God has a way of saying, you know what? I'm going to like that person. I'm going to love that person, right? Relationships that endure through the test of time. Amen. At last becomes a song that they sing at wedding receptions, the wedding march. It's just done over and over because it's enduring that way. And that's the way God's love is towards your life today. Dating is pretty new to our culture. It really began like in the 1920s. Before that time, it was done Old Testament style. I have a daughter. You have a son. They're about the same age. Let's introduce them today. Our families get along. Let's let them court together. And introductions were done that way. They're not done that way. How many dads wish they were still done that way? Amen? But they're not done that way. And so rather than swiping right on that app, we do love a little bit differently, and we're living in a different culture. Again, the Bible still knows more than swiping right on your app. Did you know that today? And how to find somebody on some sort of dating app. It really does. The Bible's timeless. And if we follow the principles, dating doesn't have to be painful. Dating doesn't have to be lonely. Dating doesn't have to end in breakups or disappointments. And so that dating can be very tough, especially for girls in this room, because you start getting in your 20s, as many of you were in this room that got married. But you remember, be real honest here, you started seeing your friends get married. And they started getting married, and you say, man, what about me? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to become this, you know, this thing, and I'm going to play cards, old maid? You know, am I going to be the old maid here? And then you have that reception that you go to as a young lady, and you always sit next to that aunt. And they throw that bouquet, and you catch it, and she tells you and whispers in your ear, you're next. And there's always that aunt that's, when are you going to get married? And you're getting older and older and older. You think you're getting older. You're only 20-something. You think you're already done, and you're not today. You know what you ought to do to that aunt? When you go to the funeral, instead of the wedding, you go to the funeral, sit by her. And then go, you're next. Shut her up, amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. The dating story goes something like this. Boy meets girl on an app, or girl meets boy on an app. And they go out to eat. She orders an expensive meal. And he looks like, oh no, I have to pay for this. And she eats the expensive meal, and he can't believe she ate all that food. He invites her over their apartment. They kiss, they lay down together, they have intimacy together that's meant for the marriage bed. And they continue, they pretend like they're married, and they do married things like they pretending to be married. He gets a toothbrush over the house, and he brings her toothbrush over his house. Clothes come over, and things don't go so well. The relationship ends up in a breakup. Another relationship happens, they repeat the cycle, boy meets girl again and over. And after maybe a dozen times of this, breakup, so forth, there's finally boy meets special girl. This is the one. Or girl meets special boy. This is the one I'm going to marry. And maybe years go by, but they've already conditioned themselves to break up over and over. So when marriages don't go right and conflict happens, they're not happily married ever after, or happily committed, they should be. Because you're not making me happy now, I'm going to walk out, and they break up in divorce. And how did it end that way? Why hasn't God given us something better? And he has through his word. If we just take time to look at his precious word, we would see the blueprints for success in our lives, in all of our lives in this room. Everyone is looking for happily ever after. We all are in this room. But the principle is happily committed ever after, right? In good times, for better or for worse, right? We want this feeling. I got this feeling. If we go by feeling, we'll not arrive where God has us and where he should have us, where love is this commitment and love is a choice in good times and bad, right? See, you always prep before the performance. And how you rehearse is how you'll perform, right? How you practice is how you'll play. You guys have played football in this room. You're gonna. And that God wants right now a season of preparation. If you're a single adult in this room, if you're a person pursuing, because you're preparing your life for marriage today. There are plenty that I think we do an injustice to our young people when we tell them after a breakup that hurts them, well, there are plenty, baby, there are plenty of fish. There are plenty of fish in the sea. You don't need him today. We would tell our sons, go ahead and play the field right now because one day you'll be committed. That's the wrong thing to tell your children today. When I was in Bible college, they call it bridal college because they think, you know, you're going there for a wife and it's a great place to meet. You know, your wife, if you're a man or if you're a girl, it's a great place to meet your husband, be missionaries and pastors. So there was a lot of girls in Bible college, and I was in my 20s. And so I had my group of guys, we were walking down the hallway, and there's this girl named, I don't want to say her name because she may find me, so I'm not going to say her, but she was like this prophet. She was like this prophet, no makeup. And she was in her 20s, but she was like this prophetess. And so kind of just, you know, freaked me out, you know, because the way she looked, a little bit scary, looked like she belonged in The Shining movie, amen. But she was coming, you know, she'd be coming this way and Nava would go this way, amen. Well, I those girls, of course, you know, I'm human, I'm in my 20s, so there was a lot of girls, man. Thank God, y'all, some of you guys are smiling at me like, yeah. And you girls are looking at me like, And so I remember telling my boys, I said, man, I'm going to take her out. We're going to go out. Woo! You know, we were talking just stupid noise. You know how guys are when they're in their 20s. I know you guys don't believe that that really was me, but that was me. And so then I remember that prophetess was coming this way, and she was hearing my smack, my talk. I was talking all this noise in the hallway at Christ for the Nations. And when I was saying, that, yeah, I'm going to take her out, and she heard, that prophetess heard me say that. And she said, Mario, guard your heart. And I kept walking, amen, with my guys. I go, and I walked on, but I, you know what? I forgot about all that junk that I'd said about those girls and how I was going to date them and all that stuff. But I sure remembered that girl, that prophet voice into my life, because I wasn't guarding my heart. I was doing stupid things that I shouldn't have been doing. And saying stupid things. Amen? And it's up, you may not get a prophet to shout into your life that's a weirdo today, but I can tell you to guard your heart, no matter where you're at and what circumstances that you're in. Amen? If you enter the dating courtship process, do it out of pure motives. Do it out of obedience to Jesus, because I believe you're called to be married, many of you in this room, if you're not married. You have desire to meet your spouse, you're called to do that. Do it out of desire, a pure motive to meet your spouse, a willingness to respect and serve others, amen? That's the biblical platform of what we base our life on. There are Bible principles of finding love at last today, and I want you to observe the courtship of the Shulamite woman and Solomon, the king, as we look at it. Here, she's speaking in Solomon 2, 8, and 10. It says this, she's speaking again. How many know our ladies can talk? And it's an example in the Bible. And she talks a whole bunch during this passage. And he finally gets a word in edgewise. But that's the way of life. Give me a good amen. And so she says this, listen. And that's the best thing that you can do as a man. Listen. Give me a good amen. You guys can smile at me, you big cowards. Nobody wants to laugh, amen. I want to laugh because she's next to me. Listen, my lover, look, here he comes. She's just light, lit up. Her eyes are big and wide. Look, here he comes, leaping across the mountain. And he's leaping and bounding over hills like a speeding bullet, amen. He's Superman. My lover is like a gazelle, a young stag. Look, 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 look how fine he is. Look how good he is. And true love there, right? Everybody, infatuation. And there he stands behind the wall, gazing through the window, and it's like their date night. And he's a like this peeping Tom. No, he's not. Peering through the lattice. My lover spoke. She's kind of looking. The picture is she's looking through the, here he comes. He just parked the car. He's pulling up. Oh, look how good he looks. Here he comes walking up in his, look how he's looked great. And my lover spoke, and he said, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. We're going to go to the Garden of Olives, amen, restaurant. They have breadsticks there. You get addicted to the breadsticks. Old Testament, right? They start the dating relationship, and all of us have something that we're beginning. See, we all have something new. They had a new relationship going. Sometimes you get a new house in this room. Sometimes you get a new job, right? Sometimes you get a new car. And how many know things don't always stay new? Because sooner or later, you got to make a payment on that car. Why did I get this car, right? Until that payment comes. And so the first principle that we look at for everyone in this room today is the season of perfection. Because you stay at it long enough, things aren't perfect all the time. Amen? You got to pay for that car. You got that job, the honeymoon. So last week, we had members join the church, right? You're here, we welcome them. The church is new. It's a honeymoon stage, and everything's perfect, and everything's great, and we welcome. But sooner or later, they're going to have problems in this church. And we told them about that, right? Because not everything stays perfect, right, everybody? A new boyfriend, a new girlfriend. And they say that love is blind. What do you do when love is blind? You set up a wall. You build a wall. Build a wall. I remember the first time that Irma and I, when we were dating in our 20s, I had a fight with her. We had a fight, and it was her fault. Yeah. I had a fight. We had a fight, and I remember, you know what? I was sitting in my car, and I was, like, just so upset with her about what she had done, and it was her fault. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, we were just dating. I said, you know what? I can blow her off, man. That's it. There's other girls, and just find other girls, and, you know, I was thinking all this stuff. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, because we were Christians. He said, go deal with that. Go do what's right, and go talk. Don't just shut it off. And you know what I'm thankful for her? She was willing to talk to me, at least. And I knew I had a fighter on my hands, because we fought again. Give me a good amen. But we worked it out, and continue to fight up to this day. Give me a good amen. But that's what love is, amen. You, in the season of perfection, in your dating relationships, you have to build a wall. You have to border things. Thank God that your house isn't wide open today, but you have a door that closes. And you're called to build borders, and the Bible's full of principles like that, that you build walls around yourself because it contains safety and it causes you to be safe inside the walls. Do you understand that today? And so I call these things right now. Somebody say this with me. Border your time. Build a wall around your time if you're dating. There's time alone, but you better be building that wall, because if you get too alone, things happen. That just like all of us in this room, that couple, and she took the lead. And she said, you know what? If this happens again because of all the time that we're spending alone, I'm going to break up with you. Because I don't want to keep going through this again. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about right now, because you've dated, you've been through the process. I'm not going to keep doing this because it's too much for me to carry after we're through and we're not married right now. Nobody wants to look at the pastor. Is that okay with everybody? That's why you should border the time. Get into a small group. Serve in a group. Serve in children's ministry. Be together, serve together, be with other people. Amen? During the time of courtship or dating. Somebody say, border your talk. Come on, help me out. Yeah, you can't just say anything you want to say in the dating process. After one date, you tell her that I love you. After one date, you say, you're the one for me. After the second date, you say that. You share intimate feelings. You just be, men are givers. Women are receivers. So if you're going to tell a daughter that you love her, you better be able to back it up for the rest of your life, because that's what love is. I love you, that means forever. Just don't throw it out there like that. You better be ready to back it up. Give me a good amen. That's why in the church, when we commit to each other, to even walk within this fellowship, we love each other. And there's been some bad times. It hasn't always been rah, rah, rah. We got a new building, right? The building got old. And we walk with each other, even in hard times. Now, if the pastor's doing, again, I prerequisite this so you don't think we're a cult. We're not that. If the pastor's doing something wrong, then leave. Give me a good amen. Evil, and I'll go with you. Amen. Because no. Are you really ready to say that I love you to my daughter, son, are you ready to say, I love you because you want something else more than love from that physical after one date? And you can't be. Come on, man. Don't do that. Border your touch. The third thought, right, everybody? Are you going to want to touch something that God put within you so you border the touch? This couple, everything is new in the season. The spring has come and there's happiness and there's color because now the winter is gone and the spring is coming. And so this couple is falling in love in their springtime. And it says in Solomon 2:11, 12 on the screen or in your handout. See, she's still talking. See, the winter. And that means on wintertime right now, which we're inside a lot. It's cold outside, right? And so you want to be on the inside of the house. It's past, and the winter is past, and you're ready to go outside and start exercising again, and the rains are gone over, and the flowers are appearing, and the season of singing has come, and the cooing of the doves is heard in the land. And so they're getting ready for marriage, and the preparation is springtime. Etta James, when she sang that song, at last my love has come along, my lonely days are gone, and life is like a song. At last, the skies above are blue. Can you see the thought, man? The flowers are appearing. Spring is in the air, right, everybody? Yeah. Song of Solomon 2:14. It says here, the doves are in the cleft of the rock. And it's, she's speaking of her man. She's still talking because she's looking at the example of the man of God that she has in her life, her leader, her husband of being. She says, you know what? He's in a hard place right now. He's disciplined in his life. Because right now he's going to enjoy life later because right now he's doing the hard stuff. If you go to school for 4 years, you'll get a degree, college degree. But you pay the price so you can get the bigger paycheck, right? You study, you stay up late at night, you do all the exams, you pass the test. You guys that are in business, sometimes you're called to stay up all night to do all the projects that you need to do because you know you're going to get paid for it. But you discipline yourself to do the hard things so there's a payday later. In relationships, it's no difference. There's some discipline involved about waiting, and it's okay to do that. Are y'all on the same track with me right now? And our young people hear that right now. Our single adults hear that today. It's okay to have discipline. My doves are in the cleft of the rock, of the hard place, and the hiding places on the mountainside. And whenever you see right now the yellow, say, show me your face. It doesn't mean like, hey, let me see your face, your big mug. It means that it says in Old Testament, it's character. Your character, you're developing your character. You don't want to marry a character. You want to marry a person of character. Amen? That God has done something in their life today. And show me your face, and it's showing that he has character. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. And again, your face is lovely. In the character development that takes time, it just doesn't happen overnight. I found a dream. At last, that I could speak to a dream that I can call my own, and she is calling her own. Why do you want to build a foundation for your future? Because it's this point. Why? The second thought, because there's a season of preparation for your life that you would have. And so we're going to enjoy a lot, but right now we prepare. We prepare for marriage. All I can use really is my life and those that I've pastored through the years, but again, Irma and I, we didn't do things perfectly. Nobody's, you know, Ken and Barbie here at all. So I'm not going to try to lie to you that way. But I will tell you this, man, I was ready to be married when I was 26 and I started dating her. I was done. Give me a good amen, having girlfriends and doing all that stuff because it was leading to loneliness and disappointment. But and she was ready too. And so it wasn't just a date to date or to go out on the weekend. It was, are you going to be my wife? And she would go back, are you going to be my husband? Are you going to be that man for my life today? And you're in that season of preparation right now. Are you prepared now? I noticed that in seasons of preparation, single men in this room take the lead because what will happen, it transfers into your marriage if you're not taking the lead spiritually right now. You're called and you're hardwired to be the man of God in your household as a high priest of the home. I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking to you like a brother because I face my challenges too in my marriage. But I've noticed that when I take the lead in my home as a man of God, my wife wants to respond and she follows. Is it always that I have the best idea? No, but spiritually I do. Give me a good amen. And there are things I don't just say, hey, we're going to do this and this and then pray 3 hours and do Bible study. No, we talk and you take the lead. Because what will happen if you don't take the lead now spiritually as a single young adult in a dating relationship, what's going to happen is they'll take the lead. They'll come along and they'll be driving. They're driving. See, and you know what? Later on, you're married years and she's still driving. And you go, why is this thing malfunctioning in marriage, even as Christians? Because you never took the lead as a single adult young man. Amen. Again, she may pray more, she may read the Bible more, but you're still the spiritual head of the home. Doesn't mean that you have to pray 3 hours. Maybe you should, but I don't. You pray, you seek God, and you're the one that sets the rudder. You're the most spiritual person in the house. Give me a good amen. As a man of God, married or single man in this room today. Amen. I'm going to find my one. I'm going to find the right Mr. Right, Mr. Right. No, it's a season to prepare you. You got to be the right one so you can be the right one for that other person. Amen. Y'all get that? Is that okay with everybody? So the second thought, become the right person. That means you develop your spiritual life with God. 2019 is still pretty young, right? And so 2019, why not 2019? You become the best that you can be for God in 2019. Look at your life 2017, 2018. Is there more of Jesus or there is more of you? Look at your life gauge. Are you doing more worldly things than you did before? You know what? I wasn't drinking 2 years ago. Now I'm drinking a whole lot. Be not drunk with alcohol is a good principle. Give me a good amen. You know what I'm talking about. You have an occasional thing, hey, that's your deal. Look at God's word. Don't check your brains at the door. Look at the Bible, have it lead you. Is there more world than Jesus in your life? And every year, are you increasing more with Christ or you get more worldly? Look at your life. And you should become that person that's right and growing in God. Give me a good amen. Because that's what God calls us to do as his people. The closer you get to Jesus, the more or less that you become. There are four posts in the Jewish weddings that they have, even to this day. And they got that through the tradition of the Old Testament, the huppah. And the huppah was that a Jewish man would build the huppah, four posts, and he put a canopy over it. And it symbolized the home that he was going to bring his bride into. And the huppah was in Old Testament that a young man, after the engagement of saying, I'm committed to you to be married, and the engagement ring and so forth, and what they did in the Old Testament, he would go build a house for his wife, and he would take as long as he had to take. And you know who the deciding factor was if the house was ready? Not her, because she picked out the cabinets. Not her, because she picked out the flooring. It was daddy. His dad would come in and walk through the house and go, son, you better embrace this wall. It's a load-bearing wall. You better put new doors in. And so the son would keep working on it until dad said, the house is ready for you to bring in your bride. That's why when they would ask the son, the young man, when are you going to get married, man? When are you going to finally marry that girl? They would ask him like that. He would go, only the father knows. Only dad knows. Jesus quoted that in the New Testament. And they said, when are you coming back, Lord? When are you coming back for your return? Only the Father knows the time and the season when I'm going to come back and get my bride because I'm ready, I love her, I want her. Some. Only the Father knows, right? Amen. Pastor, you're preaching good, amen. Thank you, man. The choir just bumped me, amen, a little bit. They said, preach on, boy. Yeah. Only, and see, a father was involved that way. And how about your Heavenly Father? Are you ready today? Do you know also the groomsmen? You know these groomsmen? How you have a bachelor party for all your groom? They would take them. The groomsmen in the Old Testament, they all had swords. They were warriors. And they would get around the main warrior, which was the groom, to guard his purity. Ain't no hoochie mama going to get him. We're not going to go out, you know, one last fling and, you know, go to the bars one last time on your bachelor party. We're gonna guard your purity, man. We have swords ready. You know what the bride maids, what they would do? They would also guard the bride that same way, that no man, no counterfeit would come and take her purity away. And it's a picture, a striking picture of how we become the right person in our lives, a season of preparation, whatever stage that we're in. We walk in love. Somebody say, walk in love. Not I fell in love. I fell in, sounds like you fell down. No, not that you fell in love. You guard your emotions, and love is a choice, and you serve people. I saw a post last week on Facebook, and it was one of our men, and their boots were all wet, and the ground was all wet, but I recognized the sidewalk, and it was a sidewalk right out here, and he put on the post, rain or shine, here I am to serve. And he literally, he's that man that watches over our vehicles, and he's a security team if anything ever happens, and if the devil tries to come in here, he's going down, right? Yeah. And so he put on there, and I just, you know, I appreciate that man, but you know how you really walk in love? By doing acts towards God that cause you to love people. You're out in the rain and it's cold and you're serving our church. You're wiping a baby's nose that's in the nursery. You're doing things of love so your capacity of love grows. You do things that are not selfish but selfless. And you serve others, amen? And it helps you to mature your love for others. Now I can love even more because I've grown. I talked to one of our ladies that serves on Friday, and she does our outreach into the adult daycare, and she leads that ministry, and she's doing it right now alone. And I asked her this morning, I said, how did it go? And she's, it was awesome. And, you know, God came and God visited the people as I, you know, taught them and blessed them. And it was something that I could see that just has matured this lady because she has her assignment to do every Friday, and she serves that on our behalf and does her small group there. Amen. And the capacity of love grows. Do you understand that today? Amen? Amen? Amen. How about the last one? Fixing all my hopes and dreams on God. You don't fix your dreams on a person because they'll disappoint you. If you idolize somebody, you will demonize them. Listen to me. If you idolize somebody, you're going to eventually demonize them. And so God will not disappoint you today. In God we trust. Thank God that that's printed on your money, because man will let you down. If you're putting so much pressure on your man or your wife to be everything that you're supposed, that you want her to be or you want him to be, he's not the Savior and she's not Jesus, right? And there's just too much pressure for a human being to have on their lives, and they will break. Amen? Marriage is this beautiful picture of legacy that you can build on this earth. That's why it's so. That's why the devil fights so hard for it in young people's lives, to not do it right at the very beginning or to do it wrong and set up a pattern of failure. And that's why he fights us so hard in our marriages that we don't stay together, because you can build a literal legacy within your marriage with children and generational blessing. And you see how powerful that becomes in the hand of God today. It's not an accident that you're together today. It's a legacy thing that God wants to put his hand on and breathe his life for generations to come. So it's very important that you are the right person in that time of preparation for your marriage. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And God is with us. In Song of Solomon 2:15, the brother finally gets to talk. Isn't that good? And listen to what he says, how he's the man of God, how he's the leader. He says, catch for us the foxes, which means I'm going to lead this thing, but I'm giving the marching orders right now in my home today. Things are going to be a little bit differently now. I'm going to tell you what to do. Amen. He said, the little foxes have ruined the vineyard. In other words, I'm not going to ruin your body right now by doing something that I shouldn't do. The vineyard that speaks of, that's her body. Our vineyards are now in bloom today. Both of us are ready, but we safeguard it, because if you take the vineyard too quickly, it's like foxes ruining something. And the job of catching foxes, because they're like chickens, they run around everywhere, they're quick, it takes a team of people to do that. And so if you're constantly having to beat him off of you because you're not married and you're doing stuff that you know should be waiting for marriage, then you're fighting a losing battle. You understand that today? Are y'all with me this morning? If there's no standards on her part and let anything go, then that little, you're going to ruin. And if you're thinking, is that what it really means? That's what it really means. Don't ruin the vineyard before it's time. And many of us probably have today, and this isn't somebody preaching at you, it's preaching with you. It's your brother talking to you today. Thank God for a fresh start in Jesus. And how about wanting it for our next generation? How about for your grandchildren, for your children? That you'd want that, that they would safeguard their purity and they would do the things that God, a fresh start today in the name of Jesus, that we have that in our heart. The third principle, exactly that. Somebody say, a season of purity. Hit your neighbor and say, don't go to sleep right now. You look funny when you sleep. Mouth all hanging out, amen. Saliva coming down. Don't be gross like that. Come on. Saying, well, season of purity. I don't feel too pure right now. I don't feel too pure about what I've done. Well, get in line with the rest of us. It's quiet in this Baptist church. Aren't you thankful that Jesus covers your sin? Yeah. So we stop living like somebody didn't die for us and somebody didn't love us and we don't want to change our lives, and we start living like changed people today. Pure people, holy people today, because that's what God's called us to do as His children today. I want you to do this principle, these three principles quickly here. Put parameters around my passion. I'm going to guard my life. Fire is awesome, isn't it? It warms you on a cold day. But fires without boundaries or borders, you know what it's going to do? It's going to wildfire. It's going to destroy everything. That's why there's passion within everybody in this room. You were created like that. You're alive. You're breathing today. You have passion, and you should have it. But we need to tell our young people, we need to tell our own lives. You need to tell yourself as a married person even, you just don't do what you want to do. You contain that fire. Do you understand that today? Or it'll become wire. It becomes deadly today. I think about the thing. I wouldn't be your pastor if I did everything I wanted to do. And maybe you wouldn't be a church member if you did everything. I don't know. Maybe you still hang out here. I don't know. But it comes back to you, right? Yeah. The second thought, use family as a safeguard. That's a big one for me. I remember I was dating this girl, and thank God it wasn't Irma. Give me a good amen. At that moment in my life. And she met my mom, and my mom didn't like her. And I liked her, but my mom didn't like her. And I'm glad I didn't marry her. Not only because my mom was an indicator. Yeah. And now, my mama doesn't like anybody, right, you might say. She doesn't like anybody I bring home. But, yeah, that's sometimes, amen. I don't want to get in trouble. Let me move ahead there. Say you bring grandma's last word. She's in the ICU, and she's blessing all the children. And you, grandma, is in there, and she tells you, you know, you go with your girlfriend, and you go in there, grandma, what do you want to tell me? He said, baby, break up with her. She's a witch. And she comes out. You come out of that room, and she's waiting. What'd she say? Baby, it's done. Word finished. Bye. Leave. If your family doesn't like the individual, you need to weigh that big time. You need to pause and think about what you're going to do, because my family's cray-cray. They're crazy. And it may be that way, but you still have a family. You have a church family. You have eldership in this church. You have great leaders in this church. You have great small group leaders in this church. You can seek advice. Someone should know what you're doing, because all of us, including yours truly, were one step away from stupid. Someone should watch you. Someone should be about liberty, not only your spouse, but somebody should be able to speak in your life. Be careful with that. My son is away right now in Dallas, and he's going to another church, and he's living there, and he has a great job and so forth. But I talked to him recently, eyeball to eyeball, and I said, son, who's watching you? Because I ain't. You ain't in the home anymore. Who? And he said, dad, this guy, and that's his minister there, his pastor there. He said he speaks into my life. I serve right next to him, and I have a relationship with him. And Andrew told me the truth on that, and I'm so thankful that somebody's watching him as a young man when I can't be there. Now, we speak weekly, we text and all that, like most families do in this room today that are away like that. But someone needs to be watching you. You need to give that access to somebody, because I don't want him ruined. I don't want my son ruined. I don't want my life ruined. How about you? I want my children. So speak into their lives. Finally, is this: let Jesus make all things new. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in living faith. No, they're in Christ, right, everybody? So God made you, And I want to encourage you today to embrace all that God has for you, because he has something special just for you, a precious gift called relationship on this earth that's given by the Heavenly Father. So don't settle for anything less than Jesus making all things new for your life today. There are three times, like a chorus of a song, that they repeat this song, this chorus, and she does it three times. And it's an amazing verse. And again, this is the second time she repeats it. And she does it again a third time. But Song of Solomon, as we conclude here, I believe this is the final scripture, right? One person says amen. How about the rest of you guys on this side? Final scripture. Would you help me out on three? Would you say it with me real loud, like a declaration of faith? Amen. Like we mean it. Amen. Because the Word of God can change us. I believe that still about the Holy Bible. How about you? I believe that when we declare God's Word, it does something to me. It changes me. It makes me who I need to be. So let's declare this out loud with power, passion, like we would declare the Word of God on three. Ready? One, two, three. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field. Do not. That's a little bit of a tough translation. You did great, by the way. A little bit of a tough translation, but it literally means don't wake up love until you can go all the way. Don't start and then you got to pull back until you can go all the way. And so don't get into the position where you're going all the way and then you put the brakes on, because that's not what love is. In other words, prepare yourself with purity, with the season that you're in, that you don't get in situations that you're going to regret because you went all the way and it wasn't ready. The vineyard was ruined. Do you understand that today? And you awoke something that shouldn't be awakened until the marriage bed, because that's what covenant is. Are y'all with me this morning? And so you want to be fulfilled and you don't want to let something happen before it can happen all the way. Isn't the Bible incredible? And it speaks into stuff that we need in the church and how we should be teaching it. Not HBO or cable TV, but we watch God's Word and we look at God's Word. Amen. You say, why are you being so passionate about this? Because most of my life, from my 20s on, I was a youth pastor and then I became a lead pastor. I've dealt with people and I'd rather help them on the front end instead of the back end. Divorce, there's no... God redeems, and we help people, and we love people. There are no perfect people at Living Faith Church, and thank God for redemption, the second chances that we have in life. But why not start out right? Why not do it at the very beginning right? Amen. Help on the front end today. They say the divorce rate, they used to say it was like one of every two. I always heard that, but it's really not that. The true rate is one out of every three marriages end in divorce. So that's a 33% failure rate upon marriage. And you know that's still too high, even within the church. Did you know that? One out of three marriages within the church will end in divorce. That's still not good odds, is it? So where else would you take those odds? I'm willing to bank on it all and do it all if I can just, one out of three is not bad. I'll take the risk. Where would you take that risk at a restaurant if the waiter came up to you and said, you know what, there's a 33% chance that you're going to get violently sick after you eat that egg roll? I wouldn't eat the egg roll. Bye. I'm going home, right? There's a 33% chance after you eat that sushi that you're going to be vomiting all. Well, push it away, right? You get to the airline and you go, hey, the pilot says, hey, welcome aboard. We're going to be flying into Houston and Houston Hobby. But there's a 33% chance this plane's going to go down. Well, let me off, man. I'll ride the mega bus all the way to Houston, right? Where else would you take that chance? Why do you want to take it in relationships? That it's going to end in something like that. And so you want to safeguard it today. Amen. Dr. Phil, all the way to secular universities, have done a study about divorce-proofing your marriage. So they say only one out of 1,200 couples divorce if they don't do this. If they do this, it's like divorce-proofing, bulletproofing your marriage today. And the first thought is this: if you do this, and this is secular university, this is Dr. Phil, they say this, if couples that pray together, there's a less likely chance that they'll divorce-proof their marriage if they're praying together. Well, it's so hard to pray with her because she goes on and on. Just pray with her and then end it. Go in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm mad at him. How can I pray with him? I'm mad. You can't stay mad and pray with somebody. Lord, bless this witch. No, I mean, Lord, bless her. Lord, bless her. You know, Lord, I didn't mean that. You know, and, but you begin to pray. Amen? Yeah, you pray. Yeah. The second principle, you pray together. Second principle, you do Bible study together. Oh, no, Pastor, you didn't say that. Don't tell her that. Don't tell her that. No, I did. You don't have to study exegesis and Hebrew and a word, but you can study a verse. You get one. What's one verse you got, babe? What's one? Begin that way. Take the leadership, man of God, you're wired. Take the leadership. Do that one verse and say what it's about. Amen. I'll be real upfront with you because I'm being real transparent. Irma and I don't do enough of that. We pray together, but we need to study the Bible together. And it doesn't need to be exhaustive. She does her Bible study. She loves Beth Moore, Christine Kane. She loves them all those ladies. And I do my Bible. I love Tony Evans. I love other preachers, and I love doing Bible study with them. But we can do one verse together. How about if we do our part for the next few days and you do your part as married couples in this room? Single adults in this room, how about if you have Bible study right now? Because all you're doing is preparing yourself for your spouse. Amen? So I covenant with you, man of God, don't look away from me right now. Let's do Bible study. Lead our wives in it one verse. I'm not asking you to write a whole book or do a whole thing, but read one verse and you talk about it. Amen. Before you go to bed. Is that good? Or in the morning or whatever your best time is. For Irma and I, it's before we go to bed. That's a blessing. Yes, give me a good amen. Amen. The final thought about divorce-proofing your marriage. You got some challenges. You act like I gave you a bunch of things to do, you big cowards. See your body language. Come on, man. You can do one verse. Amen. The third thing is this. Attend church together. You divorce-proof your marriage if you pray together, you do Bible study together, and you attend church together. Saw a person years ago when we were in the small building and they were at their workplace, ran into them, and they came to me and said, I'm so glad I came to church, Pastor, this past Sunday. It's like Monday or Wednesday. And it struck me, and I said, you mean you're so glad? You mean you weren't going to come to church? You mean there was a choice about you coming to church? And they said, man, I didn't think I was going to get this. I was just happy I came to church. You shouldn't. Sunday, you should come to church. Be at church. This is your church family. I understand we get sick, work assignments and that sort of thing. But if at all possible, make it to church because this is your church. I want you to increase the odds. The final thought is this on your handout. The key to building a great marriage is living a God-first life. And if you're a healthy single adult in this room or a teenager that wants one day to be married, you're going to do this. You're going to pray. You're going to read the Bible. You're going to attend church. You're going to be part of your church family today. So you're ready for that one that comes into your life, for your two to come, that God is sending you as your one today. Amen. Do you receive God's word today? In the name of Jesus, amen. We bless the name of the Lord. Rather than maybe just clap for the message, let's just exalt the word of God just for a moment, because God's word is true. Think about God's word, right? All the things that God has said about you in his word. Father, I thank you. Your promises are yes and amen. And how you've blessed me, Lord. And you've guided our lives at this church with the reading of your word and how it's gone into our lives. And it's sown good ground today. My heart is ready. Your heart is ready right now. We thank you, God. The seed of the word has gone into my heart, Lord. It shall not come back void in the name of Jesus. It will grow. It will flourish. I call it right now into fruition, into the believers at Living Faith Church, into those that are listening to me right now. Thank you, Father. Let it grow, grow, grow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the legacy blessings upon all of God's children. As you continue to pray, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Worship team, would you come join me on the platform right now? Thank you, Father. The talk is over, but God's not finished yet. I want you to open your hands just above your lap right now. Just open them above your lap. Just thank you just slightly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the season of perfection, a season of preparation. And Lord, I open my hands to say, Lord, I'm surrendering and I align my life to your word right now, the word of God right now. Lord, I want to make the pathway straight, Lord. Your word says to live this way. I want to live this way. Thank you for our single adults right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, God. many of them, if not most of them, are meant to be married, Lord. And I'm not worried about Mr. Right or Miss Right for her or him. That's not my concern. My concern as their shepherd is that they would become the right person and they would have a healthy marriage in the name of Jesus. Thank you for our single adults who are touched by God, Lord. They may be leading right now, a single parent right now. A precious lady in our congregation has to be the spiritual head of her house because her husband hasn't taken the lead. I pray for that single lady right now in the sense of leading the way spiritually. Lord, bless her. Increase her, Father. I visualize the day. I prophesy the day that her husband is standing right next to her and he's the great leader. I see that in my heart, Lord. I thank you, God. There's completion in their home, God, spiritually. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just a word right now to every lady that's leading that way. You just keep leading the way by your godliness and the quietness of your spirit. The quietness of your spirit, because that's biblical. Lead the way by your example. Thank you, God. Thank you. Break the barriers right now in the name of Jesus. For those that are married right now, hold on to your wife right now. Hold her hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm holding on to my wife right now, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, God. Bless our marriage. Bless our home. Speak words like that. Bless us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you for the legacy that every home has that's being held right now. Thank you for the children's children that they'll see. They'll grow old together, Father. Divorce-proof their marriage because they pray together, because they study the Bible together, and because they attend the house of the Lord together. Thank you, Lord. Divorce-proof it, Lord. Thank you, God. I always want to give you an opportunity today to completely become pure before God. And you say, me, I've done so many things wrong. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for all your impurities, all your sins. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for all your sins. And if that's you in this room today and you're being drawn to God, I want you to awaken right now that there's forgiveness. You could never pay for all your sins. Don't be a fool. Don't do that. Today, someone has saved you from that. He paid for your debt. If that's you in this room, I won't embarrass you. I'll just ask that your hand slightly lifted and say, that's me. I want to come home. I want to be forgiven by God today. You pray a simple prayer. I'll lead you from the platform. You'll pray right where you're at. I won't embarrass you. I will note your hand. If that's you right now, one, Jesus died for your sins. Two, God loves you. Three, if that's you, lift your hand right now. God bless you. Yes, yes. Someone else, yes. God bless you, mija. Yes. About three people lifted their hand. Thank you. All daughters. Looks like all daughters in the Lord today. Amen. We're going to pray a prayer right now, faith. We're going to pray it like we mean it. Those that lifted their hand, you pray it in your own ear. You pray this prayer in your own ear like you mean it, because you do. I know you did. You lifted your hand. The chief sinner that's leading the prayer is me, so I'm going to pray it also because I need Christ in my life. All the sinners that are saved by grace in this room, we pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. And Jesus, you died for my sins. And Jesus, you love me. I have a new beginning now. Thank you, God. I'll live for you. I love you, Lord. Become my Lord. In charge of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fullness of the Holy Spirit now rising up, Lord. Thank you, God. Baptize us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we may do the work of God again, that we've equipped the church for ministry. We say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. Peace right now. Thank you in that situation that you need so desperately. You need peace and the peace of God. It's breaking right now. This isn't a typical prayer. God just did something in the realm of peace because you needed it right now. And you heard the voice of God, the scripture of God, the holy the word of God, Numbers 6, 24 and 26. Let there be peace in your life right now over that situation. God is with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We say yes to God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's bless the Lord for new life at Living Faith Church.